This is The Naturalist. In every episode, we're covering the products, ideas, and trends that are shaping the CPG industry.
Or that we just really like.
I told you, Kyle loves
investing.
Finance talk. But I have to say that during that conversation with Mike, so, you know, we have two dogs, Winnie and Kaya. And Winnie, I always think about as really gregarious, kind of just always playful. And Kaya's like a lot more like kind of serious. I always think that she'd be like the person who would be super interested in finance. And I'm telling you, she was sitting right next to me the whole time, glued to this conversation around funding. She was all about it, as was
huh.
I loved our discussion with Mike. It was great.
I have to say, Maddie, that painting behind you, it makes me think of a piece of pizza going down because I can't see it really clearly.
Pizza, right? This is a great opportunity to introduce Maddie, our producer.
Yes. Oh, let's do that. All right, we have 8 minutes. We have 7 minutes.
So Maddie is our amazing producer who has a great painting of a pepperoni pizza.
Not pizza.
Funny that you're like, it reminds me of it. I was just fully convinced that it was pizza. I'm like, that's just what it is. But it's that person with the butter pillow pizza. So obviously, having food decor in the house is not a foreign concept to me.
I actually have the menu, the wine menu from my Madrid restaurant. It was on a little chalkboard. And the prices, a glass of wine was €1.50 in 2002.
Okay, that I really love.
And the really expensive, the most expensive wine was €2. Ooh, breaking the bank.
I have to look at the prices. I have these really fun from my grandma on my mom's side. I have these great pamphlets and menus and all different things from her travels. She was incredible. She lived to be over 100. She was just the best, very worldly. One of them was this menu from a restaurant in France from probably, gosh, I don't know, like the 30s, I guess. So I need to look at the prices then because that would be really great.
You know, I have this book written by this woman artist who is in France in the 30s and she was talking about taking an airplane from Spain to France, and she described the food on the airplane, and it was white linens, you know, fresh strawberries and cream.
Oh,
I mean, it just like
God.
Most unbelievable.
Well, during that time, I'm like, what? This world existed? Yeah, that's so funny. And like, even just over the years, meeting people who used to travel a lot, but also traveled writers from decades ago, it's like, wow, it was a whole different world. Now it's
get all dressed up.
Oh, yeah. It's like people have their shoes off. You're getting elbowed. Yeah.
Let's bring it back. Maybe we need to invest in, I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, yeah.
Through travel.
Yeah, so great conversation with Mike. I know there's so much happening there's a lot to talk about around funding, transactions, what's going on in CPG. And Mike Dovbish leads our Nutrition Capital Network group, which is really focused on connecting brands with investors through the NCN events, which show up both at our trade shows at Expo West, at Supply Side West, but also have some of their own standalone events, one in the spring, one in the fall. And then they do year-end and mid-year reports that really capture, here's what's happening in investment. Here's what both investors and brands need to know. And I love talking to Mike today. He's a wealth of knowledge. He's passionate about the space. And I think he gives us a good reality check that's also not, well, you said you were depressed at one point. I was going to say not depressing, but...
Well, you know, and then you made me see the error of my ways.
So, yeah, I think we can. I mean, we had a great in-depth conversation. So I think we just get right to.
Let's dive in.
This is good. I'm glad we're take two. Technical difficulties. Take two.
Morning. How's it going?
Good. Good morning about you.
Has it stopped raining in California, Mike? I need to know. I need to mentally prepare myself.
Oh, so it stopped, but there's the biggest storm of the season coming in this weekend. It's really focused on the Sierra Nevada, so they're supposed to get like 10 feet of snow. However, I think because it's such a massive storm that comes through and supposed to wrap up, I think, Sunday or Monday, I think we're looking good for West, because there's always a little bit of a break at least.
Good. I hope so. I'm not a fan of winter, and so I may have picked the wrong place to live in Colorado. So I always count on that little Expo West break, a little bit of sunshine, a couple of palm trees.
Oh, I think you'll be fine.
I don't know how I feel about the fact that we're appropriately talking about storms as we're also talking about the investment landscape. Is that...
Ooh, I like how you did that.
A bigger storm awaits. I hope not.
Oh, yeah. I think we all feel the same. You know, going into West, we do a session at West, and Nutrition Capital Network does a session at West, and we have investors and there's content, and then we feature our all-stars from 2023. We pick 10 companies that we think fit as all-stars. There's many more all-stars from 2023, but these are 10 picks that we wanted to highlight. But we also hand out a sheet of companies that are raising capital. So we put the call out for companies that are exhibiting, and then they fill out a few questions, and then that sheet is virtually handed out to investors. And there's a lot of companies raising capital still. And a lot of these companies have been on this list for a few years now. So it's still pretty tight.
Literally right before this, I was talking to someone and she said, and she's an investor. And she was like, I've been still investing in brands, but I am telling companies, just don't try to raise capital right now. Just don't even try. What do you say to that? I mean, is that...
It's challenging. What still has to happen is relationships still need to be built. So
right.
What we try to achieve is a place where companies know that they can interact with us, mostly through our investor meetings, but also at these education sessions and other things, where we know a lot of investors out there and we have a pulse of what's happening. You still need to meet investors and you still need to establish relationships with them. So that process hasn't changed. It just takes longer. It's unfortunate, right, what's happened the last couple of years, because it just feels like every year now it feels a little bit like Groundhog Day. In 2022, they were saying don't raise in 23. And then in 2023, they were saying don't raise, wait until 2025. It's challenging, but you still have to meet investors. You still have to start that relationship.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting thinking about it as more of like a long game, right? The relationship building, the foundation that will ultimately result in raising capital still has to be laid. And it just may not be kind of that immediate investment that it was several years ago. And I know, Mike, you've talked about that too. Through Nutrition Capital Network, you'll see even when times were good, sometimes it just takes a while, right? And you're like, oh yeah, how gratifying is that when you see a company that presented at an NCN event and then maybe several years later getting investment from an investor that they connected with through NCN. So I think it's good to always think about it as kind of a longer term play, right? Investment isn't just going to be a snap your fingers and it's there.
Yeah, exactly. And it should just be part of your process if you're a company to engage with investors and go into it earlier. Go into the conversations when you don't really need it or maybe you sort of need it. Talk to investors, talk to an ecosystem of people and individuals that have maybe raised capital before, consultants that have worked with companies. Because companies will learn a lot in this process and they'll establish relationships along the way. So I know it's really, really challenging to sort of flip it a little bit, but take this process, like sort of hit it head on, knowing it's going to be challenging, but try to find ways to use it to your advantage. Talk to investors, learn from them. It's best not to come into it where you need investment now or in the next 6 months, or you risk having to, you know, end your business. That's always what we've focused on or tried to encourage. particularly now, it's just what you got to do. And there's a lot of folks posting on LinkedIn, really good posts out there, you know, saying is venture capital even the right place for CPG? And that's correct. It's probably not the right place for many of these companies. But there's a lot of investors out there, and there's a lot of investing vehicles for these companies. And I still think there's a place for venture, but it has to be the right category. It has to be higher margin, higher velocity, probably not refrigerated or frozen. It's sort of how this has always been like this, but I think even more magnified in the last few years.
So, Mike, what are some of those categories that are really outperforming others? You know, what are some of those and why?
I would say supplements. I think there's been a resurgence in supplements, particularly in women's health. But I would say, so you have supplements broadly, and then I would say women's health broadly, because women's health could be supplements, it could be OTC products, you know, also rolls into personal care. So there's been several personal care investments that have happened. There's some brands that focus on women, some that are gender neutral, some focus on men. The ones that I've seen lately are more focused on for women. So women's health in general has been a really big area of interest, and it's done well. There's been some transactions on the last 6 to 12 months, some really solid M&A deals in women's health. So that's pretty exciting.
The Bonafide deal.
Oh yeah, the Bonafide. Yeah, that was a big one. And then Honeypot was acquired in Q1 of this year. So they were an NCN presenter in 2017 or 2016. Small women's health OTC product, but just felt like overnight I'm seeing them everywhere. So and they probably have been growing. I just hadn't paid attention. But once you see it on an end cap and you want to find it in other places that you shop, so it's everywhere, it seems like. So
that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, particularly for the longer.
Like, I did that basically.
Oh yeah, right.
That's me.
Oh, I wish I could have said that. When they presented, they didn't get much interest. And it's so funny. It's like women's health is a hot category now, but women have been around for a very long time. So
kind of understatement of the morning.
Yeah. So I don't know why all of a sudden it's like women's health is hot. It's like, it's odd, but you know, whatever, there's opportunities now. So,
so Mike, in addition to some of those hot categories, such as I just did air quotes for those hot categories, but those categories that still captured investors' attention in 23, despite the economic challenges. Outside of categories, what are some of the things that investors are looking for, like aspects of a company that really matter now, maybe more than they did when the money and the deals were a-flowing? What's more important now than it was, you know, a few years ago?
Definitely capital efficiency. That's just front and center right now with everything. I really see it with food tech deals. Food tech really took a hit. Food tech, ag tech. I think anything with tech, so like connected to it, has really sort of cratered last year. But there are still deals happening in those areas. And when you're reading these announcements, they focus on capital efficiency. So it's, you know, a fermentation process that's more capital efficient than previous deals or companies. Whether that's true or not, I'm not sure, but that's what their proposition is. That's a lot of times what they're leading with. So I find that interesting. Going back to categories of interest, I also want to say things that touch on the GLP-1 pharma drugs. So companies that can be a natural solution for that, or products that would fit into a lifestyle of someone using one of those drugs, Ozempic or any one of those other drugs. One of those companies was SP Nutraceuticals, also an NCN presenting company, and Deepak Chopra's fund invested in that company. And when you dig into his fund, you'll see longevity is one of the themes with that fund. And so that's another thing too, is longevity seems to be sort of a theme that's been picked up on.
Yeah, which is something I love. We're going to have that be a theme of some of our programming at actually Newtopia now. So thinking, we have West coming up, of course, and then Newtopia now, longevity. But one of the things that I've been talking to Spins a lot about is kind of redefining that longevity category. So it's about, not even redefining, but I guess it's just how we think about aging from lifespan to what they're calling health span. So longevity really ties nicely to that of like, it's not just adding years, but it's adding really quality years. And so I also think that's interesting, Mike, what you were saying about, so just so I'm clear, is it products that can either be complementary to these key kind of pharmaceutical drugs that we're seeing, you know, more and more use of, or replace, in theory, replace pharmaceutical drugs such as Ozempic, both of those, like the complementary or the alternatives?
Yeah, that's what I think I'm seeing out there. I mean, I think it could be an uphill climb for someone to claim that they are sort of a natural solution to an Ozempic, but that, you know, weight loss, weight management, it seems to be back in vogue again. So
yeah,
in any way that you can address it.
It's interesting to me though, you had said food tech, but then you said really anything with tech, because when I think of things like longevity or innovation in those areas, I think of those biohacking tech kind of solutions. So I might be totally wrong in associating those things, but you know, is there any kind of reason that you could think of, or what could be possible explanations, I guess, for the drop in tech investments?
Yeah, so I think you have foods, and these are loosely defined terms, but you have a food tech company, so it's fermentation process, let's say, or alt meat companies, things like that. That falls under food tech. You have ag tech, and that could be sensors in fields to determine how much water is needed. Those are, you know, I feel like ag tech is really more true tech companies. That's had a fall off too, but it's more based on, you know, software sensors and things like that to make agricultural systems more efficient. So you have those things, and then you have sort of these supplements or B2B ingredient companies that haven't really been categorized sort of as food tech or ag tech. So it's sort of its own thing. And we sort of track it differently. If it's an ingredient company, there's a company called, I think it's L Nutra. Brentwood Associates invested in this, made a pretty big investment in this company. And I think it's more about the microbiome. So you have things like the Touch the Microbiome and other things that could be used in functional foods or supplements. That really hasn't seen sort of the big spike and fall off that food tech and ag tech has, partly because the venture world didn't come into that area so much. So I think what we've seen is you see a lot of money from Silicon Valley identify food and agricultural systems as a lot of opportunity. So they put a lot of money into it. And a lot of these companies, just very capital intensive, they're starting to have troubles. And I think it's a little bit reminiscent of solar or some of the clean tech category. So a lot of money got pumped in, and solar it's big now, but there was a lot of companies that didn't make it that, you know, that the venture community put money into. And I think that's sort of what's happened with food tech and ag tech. I think it's going to continue. There'll be interest. I think they've sort of been burned a bit. And so there's been a big pullback, but there's still interest.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Mike, you kind of beat me to the crystal ball question of just what do you predict will happen? It sounds like you're thinking it'll kind of follow that same trajectory of solar. Like there may be this like lull in those companies that can get through it. There's still kind of longer term success around the category, but some of those very specific and capital intensive companies may not weather the storm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this starts going into like climate tech. You know, it used to be clean tech and now it's climate tech. So it's, I guess maybe the caution is to be careful of anything tech associated with it, that we in health and nutrition, where it starts sort of bleeding in to this world, just to be a little bit wary of it, because things can get hyperinflated and then the money just gets sucked out. And then, yeah, there's a lot of companies in danger. I know there's been a lot written up on this. There's a lot of the DTC brands that was also a trend as well, with venture investing in a lot of DTC brands. And some of it did well, some went public, but that has trailed off too.
So I feel kind of depressed, you guys. This feels kind of negative, but I also, you know, we have seen that consumers are still excited about better for you options. You know, inflation hopefully is leveling out. Is there a reason for optimism among natural and organic entrepreneurs? Are there reasons for hope?
Oh, of course. We're in the come down phase right now. So that's what happens with bubbles, is there's a come down and it still feels bad, but it'll come back. I hate to say it, but in a couple of years, we're going to forget this feeling and then there'll be another bubble. It's just, or maybe it's like 3 to 5 years. I mean, that happened in 2008, 2009. It bottomed out, and then there's just this surge sort of the 2012, 13, and things just really took off. So it's a year or two of not feeling great, and then we rebuild, and then other things will come in, and other themes that we'll embrace, and things will take off again. So I just feel like we are just coming off that big bubble. And so it just doesn't feel great. But I mean,
we're going to feel better soon.
We are going to feel a lot better soon.
This might be easy for me to say because I'm not a company out there trying to raise capital. But some of the things that you said, Mike, I feel like are actually positive for the future of, you know, raising capital in the CPG industry, like maybe more intention and a more thoughtful approach and kind of less of a focus on these, you know, super hot tech innovations or things that, you know, historically have gotten a ton of money kind of flooded in there right away. And now it's more like, I mean, everything you said about the relationship building and developing that foundation and really understanding the benefits and really being, you know, efficient with capital, like all of those things, they don't sound terrible for the future of investment. So I think maybe out of some of these challenges really come stronger values that will drive investment in CPG in the future. Is that an overlay? I can go into Pollyanna mode.
I love that. I'm glass half empty, you're glass half full.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the investments from last year. I mean, it was still, we still logged, I think, like, I don't know the numbers in front of me. I mean, you know, it was a drop off from like 25 to 30% from the prior year, but it probably shouldn't have been that high.
I had written down 28% from the report. So
yes.
I nailed it. That 28%, is that extremely dramatic? What is that in the grand scheme? If it was down 28% in 23 from 22, what does that mean?
It's very dramatic. I think how I'm seeing it now, it's hard right now because we only have a couple months under our belt, but I think we might drop a little bit more. So I could see us either flat to down maybe 3 to 5% in terms of deals this year from last year. And then it'll build again. There are just really neat companies that have gotten funded. There's Truff. I'm just thinking about some of the ones that I highlighted a few. I don't know how you pronounce it. How you pronounce this? Autonomo Coffee. Suntory invested in them. It's coffee without the coffee bean. There's been some chocolate companies that are not using chocolate, the actual cacao beans. Some people are going to feel like I'm not going to ever eat that. Blah blah blah. But they are addressing climate issues, and they're not, to my knowledge, they're not raising like $100 million, you know, but they're having a big impact. There's others out there. So I think tech can be okay, but I think we just all have to be a little bit cautious as we sort of move into the next phase of growth, because that's what's going to happen.
And Mike, those examples, just for my clarity, those examples that you listed, the coffee without the coffee bean, the chocolate without the cacao, those are all food tech companies, is that?
I would categorize that, yeah, as food tech companies. I'm not sure if they've created a brand around it, but they might just be the B2B tech. Maybe they have a brand. And then, of course, there are, you know, several brands that raised money last year.
Yeah, so things are happening in some
places,
isn't it, the right places. Yeah, and then the overall forecast is, yeah, get through this year. And then so you're saying, and I think, you know, everyone will hold you to this, by 25 things will
be by 25 things are going to be, I mean, it's going to be out of control, really.
Everywhere.
We're going to publish your address if that's not true. Send people directly to your house.
I do want to say, you know, behind the scenes, there are people out there that are helping to bring in more investors into this space too, angel investors that are not from this sector. So there are people doing really good work. And in that process, they will be educated on what investing in this space means and what it looks like. Because that could also have issues too. Someone new that comes in, invests in several companies, doesn't see the returns that they thought they were going to, and then they leave. And then, or there may be issues with the companies that they invested in. There's conflict there. So I think it's bringing in new investors and then educating them, and so that they better understand what the landscape is like.
Yeah. I think that's a really exciting opportunity, especially around these new angel investors that we're seeing in CPG. And I just wanted to come back to something you mentioned at the start of the conversation around venture capital in CPG, because I do think that's really interesting. Because I remember, I don't know what year you think it was, VC was everywhere at CPG. And to kind of understand what that might look like moving forward. So I guess the question is, A, what's your prediction? Because I love a two-part question. Ready, Mike? Part one, what will happen in the next 3 to 5 years with venture capital and CPG? And then part two, or B, I don't know how I've been crafting this list. A or B or two, you know, what are those funding models that you think are going to be most successful for CPG brands?
Yeah. So what do I think about venture and CPG? Well, we're already seeing it. There's less of them around. So you have dedicated venture funds in this space. And then you have venture funds that invest across industries that will come in and invest opportunistically in this space. I think you'll see less of both. And I think that rolls into question number two. I know that, the question about...
We don't
or
know.
B, yeah. The question around funding models. I know there's been work on creating funding models that are rooted in these types of businesses that probably won't see the returns that you would see in tech. Hopefully those take hold, or whether they do or they don't. I think there'll be more investors that will come into this space, angel investors or family offices. And, you know, we haven't talked about athletes and celebrities and is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? There are a lot now involved with these companies. And I think from what I've seen, I'm not on the ground and not talking to their agents, but many times it feels like they've had positive impact. Sometimes I think they're just a silent investor. And so I think maybe that still is okay for them to be involved. But I do think that will continue and only increase. I think it seems like celebrities and athletes, particularly athletes involved in things like energy or anything, you know, sports, that those types of products, that will, I think that'll always be a thing. I think the first one was maybe, and it wasn't an investment, but it was, you know, he did very well with it, was 50 Cent. And he didn't invest in vitamin water, but got equity or got shares, I think, for it. And I don't know what it turned out to be, 8 to 10 million and that for him. I that was over a decade ago. So that was, I think, one of the first ones where it was invest a celebrity or an athlete got involved. And you know, see it all over the person.
That's you, because you just said 50 Cent. Has anyone watched Anatomy of a Fall?
No.
Yes. Oh my gosh, the song. You know, they're like playing that 50 Cent song. Oh my gosh, it's a good movie. I'm not done with it. We had to do it in two parts because we're boring and we go to sleep very early, but we're like midway through, watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting, Mike. And I wonder another category too that we might see more and more of that, you know, category that we're really focused on, that New Hope, the adult non-alcoholic beverage category. That's a place where I could see a lot of that celebrity investor piece too. So I totally agree with you on like sports nutrition and energy with athletes, a clear tie-in. And I think just in kind of pop culture in general, we're seeing so much of a shift towards non-alcoholic beverages and healthier lifestyles that there are a couple other kind of categories, certainly seeing a lot of that celebrity endorsement and investment in conscious beauty, clean beauty.
And women's health too. I mean, Naomi Watts now has a menopause company. There's several others out there, celebrities that are talking about menopause. I mean,
yeah,
I think that's going to be a big space where we start seeing those public figures, you know, going and investing in companies that address those concerns.
We're ending where we started off about women, women's health, and women being around for a long time.
Mike, any other kind of final words of wisdom or calls to action, either for investors looking to be more involved in natural, organic, and CPG, or to the brands that are still trying to raise capital, whether it be now or in the future, like any kind of big takeaways for either of those groups?
Well, I actually think starting a company now, I've listened to a lot of podcasts, and it's focused a lot on tech, but I think it goes for any type of company right now. It's a great time to start a company. A lot of resources out there, a lot of really good resources out there, people that might have been laid off from other jobs in this sector. And again, as long as you don't have to raise immediately, it's a really good time to start a business.
Mike, thank you so much. This was a great conversation. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
This is great. Anytime. And right before Expo. So great time.
Great timing. And when is the NCN session at Expo?
It's the Friday of Expo from 10 to 12.
Awesome.
So everyone's invited.
Hey, everyone come. And then I did want to mention, you know, we were talking about way back in the beginning of this conversation, we were talking about Ozempic and some of the innovation around weight management and all that. We do have a session on that at Expo as well. That is on Wednesday, the 13th at 11:30. So another great session that can tie to some of the innovations we're talking about today. So check out the NCN session for sure. And also NCN's year-end report from 23 is out and live. You can find that through New Hope and reach out to Mike. Is that okay, Mike? People can reach out to you. You're active on LinkedIn.
I sure am. And it's a report, the year-end report on 2023, but we do talk about 2024 as well.
Yes. And then you'll have your mid-year report as well. Well, thank you. Thanks, Mike. Always a pleasure.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you all.
All right, let's do the list real quick.
Okay, let's do the shmoney list. So in November, this is a huge, huge deal from last year. In November of last year, Pharmavite acquired Bonafide Health for $425 million to build up its women's health portfolio brands. I'm really excited. We're going to have Pharmavite speaking at NBJ Summit in July. We have a whole women's health segment of NBJ Summit, and obviously this really being a very important transaction in CPG and women's health. Of course, this is a growing trend in the supplements category. We talk about it with Mike. We talk about it all the time. But I think that this really represents the significance of the space, and especially as investors are thinking about it. So Toby Cohen, I just talked to him the other day. He's the Executive Vice President and Chief Growth Officer at Pharmavite. And he said Pharmavite is really focused on driving the expansion required to support consumers' daily vitamin and supplement needs. And of course, that recent acquisition really shows how invested they are specifically in the women's health aspect of it. So that's number one on the list.
Another is Skinny Dipped. So of course, Skinny Dipped is a company known for its lightly dipped nuts. They secured $12 million in Series A funding in August. They were founded by Val and Breezy Griffith. So this is a company that started with providing healthier snacks. They started with almonds, snacks that had less sugar, non-GMO ingredients, and they've since expanded their product range to include cashews, peanuts, other things. I don't know if you've ever tried those peanuts. They're peanut butter and jelly peanuts. They're insane. It's strawberry jam and peanut butter on it. It's so good. It's unbelievable.
Come on, we're talking about money here.
I'm sorry, they're so good. So the funding is going to support the company's retail expansion plans, their philanthropic efforts, that's a hard word to say, marketing, and more innovation. They also have some notable, we talked a little bit about celebrity investors. They've got a couple, Amy Schumer, Mark Wahlberg, and others participated in the round.
Love it. Go Skinny Dipped. Next up is Momofuku Goods. So,
so good. Those goods.
I won't let myself talk about how delicious they are, but they gained $11.5 million in new funding led by Alliance Consumer Group with participation from existing investor Citi Capital. And this investment will support Momofuku Goods' mission to enhance home cooking with high quality flavors and accelerate its nationwide expansion. For those who don't know, the company was founded by David Chang and Marguerite Mariscal, and it offers a range of products, including chili crudges. And okay, no, I'm not talking about it. I'm not talking about it because then I'm going to go make one of the packets I have in my pantry. It's too early for that. So great.
Well, I also have it in my pantry, and I'm definitely going to go make it after this.
Oh, the like sweet and soft.
Oh, so good. Okay, next up is Meaty. Meaty secured $50 million in Series C funding to accelerate its efforts in scaling production capacity and launching its clean mycelium-based alternative meat products nationwide in the coming year. So we've heard a lot about Meaty over the last couple of years. They won a Nexty last year. So this is a new Series C funding. This round was led by Bond and Acre Venture Partners and other existing investors, and it follows an earlier $18 million debt financing for constructing their 80,000 square foot production facility that's right here in Colorado.
Yeah, right in our backyard. Yeah, I really do think that what Meaty is doing is kind of the future of meat alts, and certainly mycelium is, we're still all about mycelium, right?
It's hot. Mycelium is hot.
All right. Finally, Goodles, another company I'm a big fan of. It's great. I really like all of these. I see why.
Is it Goodles or Goodles? I always say Goodles.
I say Goodles.
I love that.
I did interview Gal Gadot.
So you might have a little more insight than I do.
Yeah.
Noted.
Okay, so Goodles, the delicious mac and cheese, secured $13 million in a Series A round of funding. The company launched back in 2021, so that was a pandemic launch. And one of the things I really liked about them, in addition to, you know, the way it enhances its mac and cheese with protein and fiber and just kind of an indulgent but still healthier for you option, is that the company was really rooted in this like joyful messaging, and they've done that in their marketing and their brand and social media. And so I think both the product type and category, as well as the positioning, has really been spot on and has obviously been very successful. They're at Costco now.
Yeah, and they keep innovating. They have a gluten-free one. They have a vegan one. They keep, you know, expanding that line. So I'm expecting to see lots more exciting SKUs from them in the future, too.
I stick with their original, but yes, do appreciate the innovation.
All right. Well, on that joyful note,
that's a wrap. Be sure to
rate and subscribe
and
to The Naturalist.
Want to be on The Naturalist? Send us an email at thenaturalist@newhope.com.